Good evening, my friends. How are we tonight? It is wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house as we celebrate this Maundy Thursday together. So many things happened on Maundy Thursday, you know? I mean, you sit down to do a sermon on Maundy Thursday and you've got a lot of decisions to make really fast. I mean, you have, you know, the whole dinner in the upper room. You have the whole Peter thing where, you know, Peter's, you know, saying, I'll never deny you. And Jesus says, well, and then you got the whole, talk with Judas. And then you have the washing of the disciples' feet and you have the giving of Holy Communion. And you have taking Jesus to the, Jesus taking his disciples to the, you know, Gethsemane where they fall asleep while Jesus is praying. And then you have the entire arrest sequence where, you know, Peter cuts off the servant's ear and Jesus puts it back on. And then Jesus is arrested, the disciples flee, and then Jesus is on trial all night. So, I mean, it doesn't end. This whole thing just goes on and on and on. And so get comfortable. We're going to be here a long time. No, I'm kidding. No. The thing is that... During Holy Week, I think it's really important to sit down and to read this whole story, to just reread it and reabsorb all of the stuff that Jesus went through. You know, we talk about the Passion. We've even seen the movie, right? Yeah. But to take it in directly, to take it in directly from God's Word, you know, maybe even read it from a few different points of view with the different Gospels. To meditate on it and think on it and not just think about the, you know, feeling bad for Jesus, but think about all the things that Jesus said. I mean, in John, John's telling of this Maundy Thursday is lots of teaching, lots of really detailed teaching, lots of really important teaching. I mean, the stuff that Jesus really wanted his disciples to remember right before they were going to see him hanging on the cross. And if we don't have those moments in life that are so difficult, you know, that we need to have some promises from Jesus to get us through hard times, these are kind of important things. So anyway, enough of that. That's not even the sermon. Let's get started this night. Let's get started as we come into our God's presence tonight. Let us begin in the name that was spoken over us in our baptism, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we confess. Oh, wait, no, we're going to sing. Please stand as we sing. Oh, let's pray. Oh, it's a long day. Please stand as we pray. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much that you have brought us into this house on this beautiful, on this incredibly important day, Lord, the day that you were arrested, the day that you did so many huge things. Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit to work in our hearts and minds, Lord, so that we can receive from you all the blessings you have for us this night. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Now let's sing.
With your Spirit, me endow.
Let us confess our sins to him, imploring him for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. God, be merciful to you and strengthen your faith. Amen. Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's? Let it be done as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I assure you that your sins have been forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The gospel reading for tonight is Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 20. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I am to eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not eat again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And the other reading for today is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 14. "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, Here am I, as it is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, my God.' First he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law.' Then you said, 'Here I am, I have come to do your will.' He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duty. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But when the priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." As we said earlier, there's so many things that happened on this day. And it's really hard to pick just one topic. So I decided instead I was going to pick just one phrase. Yes, I'm a person with a lot of extremes. What can I say? But the thing is this, that I, every Sunday we celebrate Holy Communion at our church. And every Sunday we get to the point where I'm holding the cup and I'm saying, this is, Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant given for you. And I was like, every week I say those words, and every week I'm like, there's got to be a lot of something behind those words. And guess what? There is. The story actually begins all the way back in Genesis chapter 15. Abraham, or God is making promises to Abraham. He says, comes to Abraham and he says, I will give you this land and I will give you offspring. And that offspring is going to become a great nation. And from that great nation will come one whom will bless everybody. That's quite a promise for Abraham, who's like really old, right? And who basically, you know, has a lot of sheep but doesn't have any land, you know. And so what is going to happen? And this is the most beautiful thing. Right there in Exodus, in Genesis chapter 15, it says, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And that's just amazing stuff. And if you want to read more about that, read Hebrews. Hebrews, you know, he goes into it a whole bunch, and he talks about faith and all that. It's amazing stuff. But here's the thing that really kind of, it's an interesting development in Genesis, because Abraham believed, and there was that really beautiful confirmation of his faith. But then he looked at God and said, how will I know? Which is a really interesting thing for somebody who just had this really beautiful confession of faith. But don't we do that kind of thing? I really believe, but how will I know? You know, that kind of a thing. And God, in his mercy and grace, confirmed his promise to Abraham. And he did it in a really gory way, but I'll explain it as we go. He had Abraham take some animals and split them in half. Okay? Now, this is going to be messy, right? What's going to be everywhere? Blood. Okay, we're on the blood theme already. And he took the halves and he laid them across from each other. And then he waited for God to show up. And the Bible tells us he waited a long time. He had to chase birds off who were trying to come and eat the animals. So he chased them off. And finally, when the sun was going down, God appeared as a fire pot and a flaming torch. And he passed between the halves of the animals to confirm the promise that he was making to Moses. Now, let me help you understand this. This was actually a way that they made treaties back in the day. Okay? And the way it worked was this. The losing side, the weaker side, the side that was basically saying, yes, I will pay tribute to you. I will give to you because you beat me in war. I am the weaker. You are the stronger. I will promise to do these things for you. And the victor divides the animals, and the one who loses, the one who is subservient, the one who is the servant, right? Passes between the halves of animals with the idea of, if I break this promise, this is what's going to happen to me. God did it all wrong. Okay? Because who's stronger, Abraham or God? All right? So, I mean, in this context, what should have happened is God should have split the animals and made Moses walk between them, so that when Moses failed at the covenant, who was going to pay for it? But God did it backward. God himself walked between the split animals, signifying that if the covenant was broken, who's going to pay the penalty? That's kind of strange, don't you think? I wonder if that has any meaning, right? I mean, the blood of the covenant to confirm the promise to Abraham that he was going to have that descendant that was going to save everybody. And who carries the burden for the promise? God. If the promise is broken, who pays for it? If the covenant is broken, who pays for it? So we have the blood that confirms the promise of God, right? Then we hop over to Exodus 24. In Exodus 24, the children of Israel have just gotten out of Egypt. They made their way down to Mount Sinai. They did some bad things at Mount Sinai involving a golden calf. You may have heard of the story. Things didn't go so well, but finally they got around to the point where Moses was basically putting into place all of the things that God had told him to do on the mountain. And a lot of these things were sacrifices, right? You sacrificed animals and you put the blood on the altar. And then Moses did something really amazing because they were consummating this covenant between the people of God and God. And the covenant was basically this. God says, I will be your God and you will be my people. This is how this works. And the way that God, the way that God told Moses to consummate this, to confirm this covenant of binding together of God and his people, was he was supposed to sacrifice the animal and then take some of the blood and sprinkle it on the altar and then take the blood and sprinkle it on the people. Sounds like a very hard laundry day. But nevertheless, the concept here is this. The blood of the sacrifice, the blood of the covenant, right, is what binded God's people to God and God to his people, brings them together in this covenant. Now, did the people hold on to their, keep their end of the covenant? Okay, not so much. Pretty much constantly, no, right? So there was more to this whole blood of the covenant theme through scripture. Now we're in Leviticus 17 with the sacrificial system. And the sacrificial system was so bloody. I mean, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine that the priests ever wore the same robes twice because they were constantly cutting animals up and putting certain parts on the altar and other parts to the people, and it was just, there was just all kinds of things were going on, and there was blood everywhere in this, and but the concept is this: because of sin, something had to die, right? Because the wages of sin is, and so what God allowed the children of Israel to do is to have the animal be a stand-in for them. That the animal would take the punishment that the people deserved. The people deserved to die, but instead, God allowed them to kill an animal. And by its blood, they were forgiven. By its blood, their lives were saved. You understand the concept? And this is what the entire sacrificial system was all about. It was, how are God's people going to receive the forgiveness that they're so desperately going to need? And he did it using this sacrifice, which again is the blood of the covenant. Only in this case, it's the blood of the covenant that gives his people forgiveness and gives his people life. The problem is, the covenant, the sacrifice that God did among the people was not a completed sacrifice. It was just a temporary thing. It gave you forgiveness for now, but there wasn't any staying power to the forgiveness that these animals gave. Because did the animals really have the ability to take the blame for your sin? So this wasn't a long-term plan. This wasn't a real... It was enough to get the people through, but it wasn't everything God wanted it to be. And so what God did is this, is he promised a new covenant. Jeremiah 31, he says, I will make a new covenant, not like the old covenant I made with their fathers, and I will forgive them the iniquity of their sin. In Isaiah, he just draws the picture of the suffering servant, that one that was going to come by whose stripes we are healed. In Zechariah, he says, because of the blood of the covenant with you, I will set the prisoners free. And now today we're remembering when Jesus, who was born, Jesus who lived among us, Jesus who took on flesh, which is kind of an important thing. You know, remember that promise that God made to Abraham really long time ago, that if this promise falls apart, who's going to pay the penalty? Whose blood is going to be shed? God's, except one problem. God didn't have blood. So what did Jesus do? He became flesh for us. He became a person. Had to become a person because God couldn't die. God didn't have blood to shed. God didn't have a body to die. God didn't... You see the problem? But Jesus did, because Jesus became flesh and lived among us. And Jesus, at this meal, what he is revealing to his disciples, when he holds the wine and says, this is my blood, but he doesn't just say, this is my blood. What does he say? This is the blood of the covenant shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This Jesus was teaching deep things this night. This Jesus was drawing upon all of the history and all of the things that he had done amongst his people for thousands of years, so that he could, in a very clear language for these people at this time, telling them what? I am God. And it is by my blood that your sins are going to be forgiven. It is by my blood that full sacrifice will be made. It is by my blood that the sacrifice once for all will be made. And by my blood, I confirm the promise that I have made to you. By my blood, I confirm the promise that your sins are forgiven. By my blood, I confirm the promise that I go to make a place for you, and that one day I will come to bring you to be with me. I confirm the promise that you will live with me in paradise forever. And by this blood of the covenant, we are brought into community with God. It's called communion because here we are with God and with each other, binded together by the grace and mercy and love of the one who spent his blood for us. By his blood, we are bound to God. He is our God and we are his people. By this blood, we are brought into this relationship with God as God sprinkles his blood on us. He spreads it around, gives it to us. And so important to understand that this is not just some symbolic thing, but the real blood of God that he is spreading around us, because we don't need symbolic forgiveness. We don't need symbolic healing. We don't need symbolic life. We desperately need the real thing. And this is the blood by which we receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. So when we come forward in a bit to receive the Lord's Supper, think about all the time and work that our God has put into this theme of blood, all of the theology that God has put into this, and what this meal means as we receive the blood of Christ. And understand, this is so important. I love this. You know, when God was giving it the commands to the children of Israel, talking about the blood and the sacrifices, right after that, he goes into this whole section talking about how the children of Israel were never supposed to eat blood. You know that? And I always thought that was kind of a weird rule. I mean, I know the Germans definitely love their blood sausage, right? And I mean, it's just kind of a strange thing. It's like, why? Okay. I mean, I get it. It seems kind of gross. But nevertheless, I mean, strange that God would say it. But he actually explains why he says it. He says this. He says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. That the life of the animal is in the blood. And because God has redeemed us by the blood of animals, we should never eat, because the life is in the blood. Now, we're about to come forward to receive the Lord's Supper. And what are we going to do? We're about to receive Jesus' blood. Seems weird. But what are we receiving when we receive Jesus' blood? What's in the blood? What do we need? Yeah. We need that new life. That when Jesus died on the cross, he died for us. When he rose again, he rose for us. Because he lives, we live. We live with his life, the new life that he gives us in our baptism. And we get a booster tonight as we receive the blood of Christ, and his life is in the blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are an amazing God. God so much bigger than anything we can imagine, Lord. The depth of your knowledge, the depth of your understanding, the depth of all that you have revealed to us in your word, Lord, it's just amazing. Lord, I thank you that you have, that you shed your blood for us, making it possible for us to live. That by your wounds, Lord, we are healed. That because you died, we never need to die. Because you rose, we get to live forever. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. The offering is going to be taken in the back after the service is over. We'll use the boxes on the wall. But as we respond to God and what he has taught us in his word, let us sing the song, Take My Life and Let It Be. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we pray tonight, we want to be sure to remember Betty. We want to remember, Kyle, and also Kylan. This is very confusing for me. Two children, same hospital, Kyle and Kylan. Kylan is a one-month-old, super premature baby that I was able to visit, and a relative of the Castons. And so we want to be praying for him and his parents and the family as they're obviously very concerned. He's doing well. He's growing well, but we want to keep praying for him. And then also Kyle, who's recovering from surgery, and then Betty McMullen, who is gaining strength so that she can get home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would continue to be among us today, Lord. Thank you for being here for us, Lord, in such a real way that in a few minutes we're going to be able to commune, Lord, with you through your body and blood, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that you earned for us on the cross and deliver to us in this meal. Lord, all because of the blood of the covenant that you shed for us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of us, Lord, that you would be our strength and our rock and our shield and our fortress and the one that carries us when we're too weak to walk anymore. Lord, I pray that you would be with Betty, Lord, and Kylan and Kyle. Continue to be with them. Give their bodies strength. Help them, Lord, to recover and to build strength so that they are going to be able to get back to the lives that you have for them and that do the things, Lord, that you have prepared in advance for them to do. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with your people, Lord, as we struggle to serve you in your church. Lord, I pray that you would guide us, lead us, help us, Lord, that we may walk together, Lord, as we carry out your duties in our life. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those who have authority over us, Lord, police officers, firefighters, mayors, aldermen, congressmen, governors, presidents, all the people, Lord, that you have given to us as a blessing. Lord, continue to hold them up and help them, Lord, to carry out their duties in a way that brings you glory and is a blessing to your people. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless all of the families of our church, Lord. The grandparents, the parents, the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, Lord. All of them, Lord, continue to hold them close to you, Lord. Send your spirit to work among them. Help us, Lord, to bring your word to them, Lord, so that they can be brought to faith and their faith can grow. Help them, Lord, to have the peace that surpasses understanding that we all so desperately need in this messed up, sinful world. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, I pray that you would continue, Lord, to be active in our community. Lord, there are so many people around us, our neighbors, our friends, the people that we work with, Lord, people who are suffering, people who are struggling, people who are burdened, Lord, for so many different reasons. Lord, I pray that you would give each of us the strength and wisdom and confidence, Lord, to speak your word to them, Lord, to help them to see that that you are with them just like you are with us. And that you love them, and that you have promises for them that would help them, Lord, as they continue to struggle with the difficulties of life. Lord, I pray that you would work through us to do your will. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Yeah.
Receive our Lord's blessing this evening. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand and sing the final song together. Wonderful worshiping with you all tonight. Have a wonderful evening, and I'll see you again tomorrow for the Good Friday service. Blessings tonight.